The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
All right, so just came back from Wrestle Kingdom last week, and it was, of course, the retirement of one of the greatest performers of all time, Japanese or otherwise. Of course, I'm talking about Jushin Thunder Liger. And just kind of thinking about Liger, of course, reminded me about Super Liger, which Liger and I have never discussed. Every time I see him, he doesn't really speak too much. I know he's a fan of mine. He's said some really nice things about me in the press before. And I was actually supposed to have him on Talk as Jericho, I believe, last year. And he kind of bailed out at the last moment. So I never really got a chance to speak with him. And his English is good enough to be on this show. As you know, I've had Shinsuke Nakamura and I've had Jado and Gato and Yoshihiro Asai. I could have had a great conversation with him, but he didn't, like I said, didn't want to do it, I guess. But I just was reminded about Super Liger, and I wanted to kind of go through and tell the story of the life and times of Super Liger, born January 4th, 1997, died January 4th, 1997, about 12 minutes after his birth. But just before we get into that, I want to talk about Liger himself and just the influence that he had on so many performers of my generation. And I'm sure of many generations. Definitely was the first of his kind to do the shooting star press and the palm strike and the fisherman buster and the brain buster and all these moves that had never been invented before Liger did them. And of course, the mask and the character and all that sort of stuff. A Liger, Jushin Liger, of course, half lion, half tiger. This was long before Napoleon Dynamite. Was a cartoon character. I believe it was an anime character, and Liger was able to get the rights to use it. And of course, then the legendary status was created. So one of the things for me when I signed with WCW was to go to New Japan. But I'd worked with Liger in WAR. We actually had a match together. It was Gato and myself versus Liger and what the heck was his name? Takaiwa. He actually was in one of the Liger retirement matches, and we had a like I said, a tag team match, and it was a big deal at the time to work with Liger. As it was always a big deal to work with Liger, but especially for me, being in WAR and kind of always having my eye on New Japan, always kind of wanting to be a part of it. We did the Super J Cup, the second stage together. We didn't wrestle each other, but he was in that. And so there was a little bit of a working agreement with War and with New Japan. So we did get a chance to work with some of their guys from time to time. And working with Liger was a big deal for me because obviously he was a legend. And I remember the tag team match that we had was really, really good. I think Gato and I beat Takaiwa. And but to get a taste of being in there with Liger was very, very cool. And obviously he liked what he saw, because Super Liger was Liger's idea to be kind of the ultimate rival for him. So how it all started was, like I said, when I signed with WCW, one of the things I really wanted to do as a result was go to New Japan. because I'd never worked there before. I'd worked for FMW. I worked for countless tours for War. And like I said, had you know, cups of coffee with some of the guys there. Fuyuki Gun used to work with... there was one of the... Heisei Shingen was the name of the group from New Japan. There was a Goto was in there, and I can't remember who the leader was. Koshinaka, I think his name was. So we did get to work with some New Japan guys, like I said, but I really wanted to work under the banner of New Japan. So I started in WCW, and of course, when I, Bischoff said he would be more than agreeable to that, and I started with WCW September, August of 96, and I guess in about December or so, early December, late November, I got a call from Brad Ringens. And Brad was at the time kind of the American liaison for New Japan. I think Brad is right now maybe one of the managers of Brock Lesnar, as a matter of fact, or Brock's confidant, his handler sort of thing. And Brad called me and said, we need some measurements from you. New Japan wants to make a costume for you. And I didn't really know much more than that. They didn't really tell me anything. They said, they have some kind of an idea. They want to make a costume for you. Can we get your measurements? Now, anytime someone asks me for my measurements, you know, I'm a guy. I mean, I don't know what my freaking measurements are. So I was living in Calgary at the time in my apartment that really had no furniture in it. But I remember I went to a drugstore and bought a tape measure, like a clothing tape measure. And I took my measurements, which was, you know, waist and arms and all that sort of stuff, and sent them off to Brad. And I said, do you know what it is that they want me to do? And he said, no, I don't, but I'll keep you posted. So I guess a week or so later, I get a call back that they want you to come in for the Tokyo Dome, and you're going to be the rival of Jushin Liger. What a great place to start with New Japan as kind of the rival to the top guy, you know, in the company. And this is, once again, 23 years ago. So we were, you know, at Liger's kind of at his peak of his powers and physically and all that sort of stuff. So he was really involved, I guess, and he was booking the junior heavyweight division. And I guess he really saw a lot of promise in me, probably from that match that we had, that tag team match that we had, that that he was involved in, the War match. So I remember Brad said, they're going to call you, you know, you're going to be Liger's rival, and you're going to wear a costume like Liger. And I think the original idea was they were going to call me White Liger. And I liked that. And then, you know, over the course of time, I found out that they wanted to call me Super Liger, which, you know, it's very Japanese. I would have rather had White Liger, but maybe that had some kind of white power connotations to it or something like that. But the thing that was, and the thing is, the costume was all completely white and silver. And Liger, of course, is known for being white and red. And of course, Liger has black hair, long black hair, and I had long blonde hair. So those were the differences right off the bat right there. So from what I recall, I don't think they sent me the costume. They just sent me a mask, I think. All I had was the mask at first. And it was hard because the eyes were covered completely with red mesh. If you look at pictures of Super Liger, you can see that. And the mouth hole was basically just that, just a little slit. So I put that thing on and I was like, man, I can't breathe in this thing. Like, what am I going to do? You know what I mean? Like, how am I gonna get by with this and be able to wear it in the ring? So I took some scissors and I cut out the bottom part of the mask so that I could breathe better. As far as seeing, it was really hard to see, you know, through this mesh. And I, that was the one and only time I ever wore a mask for a match. You know, I wrestled in Mexico for years, as you guys know, and I never wore a mask there. I remember right before my first match I ever had in Monterrey, Mexico, they were going to have me in a mask, and right beforehand as Lionheart, or that might have been Leon Dorado, the Golden Lion, I think was the original name. And they, right before the match, decided that they didn't want me to wear a mask because my face was too beautiful, as they said. Their words, not mine. So that was it. I never wore a mask. And when it came time to do this Super Liger, it was very strange to be wearing this mask. So I wore it around the house, my apartment, kind of practiced with it and, you know, see if I could see as best as I could. But I didn't have the costume either at the time, as far as I recall. But that was, you know, a big deal for me to be going to Japan. And I remember, of course, you had WCW's blessing for that, because what they would do at the time is they had, like I said, a working agreement with New Japan. So they would just bring in guys, and whatever deal that they had for them with WCW, you wouldn't get paid any extra. You would just get like $100 a day for food. So that would be your per diem, you know, and WCW would make whatever they're going to make. And I heard they would be making ridiculous amounts, like $15,000 a week or that sort of a thing, where I wasn't making anything close to $15,000 a week. I remember we found the contract, or somebody had the contract somewhere, and you saw like, what, $15,000 a week for Chris Jericho, and, you know, $25,000 a week for Eddie Guerrero, and, you know, $50,000 a week for Scott Norton, or whatever it was, like just ridiculous amounts of money that they would have to pay New Japan. And the guys would get none of that. At the time, I think I was making $135,000 a year. So, you know, divide that by 52. And that's like, what, not even $3,000 a week, I guess. It might've been 165. So it was probably just around $3,000 a week is what I was getting. And they were paying $15,000 for me. So you do the math. But you know, who cares, right? Just the fact to get to go to Japan was super exciting to me, and especially to be at the Tokyo Dome with Liger, with this whole new character and concept.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Now, the funny thing is, you think about it. So I always talk about the Jericho curse in my books, where I say, you know, the first time I ever went to a company, the first match that I had sucked. Usually it was rough. And it was one of those things where I had that twofold with Super Liger, because not only was it my first time in New Japan, it was also my first time in the Tokyo Dome, and it was the first time wearing a mask, and the first time wearing a bodysuit, and the first time working with Koji Kanemoto, who we'll talk about a little bit later on. So I had all these things kind of stacked up against me, and it was very nerve-wracking. So I went over to the Tokyo Dome, and this was the main event of that Tokyo Dome show was Riki Choshu versus Shinya Hashimoto for the heavyweight championship. And it did a huge number. If you go online, it says that we did 62,500 people. Now, that could have been inflated, because I know now drawing 40,000 and 30,000, 35,000 over the last few years has been some of the biggest gates in Tokyo Dome history. So where they really had 62,000 on, I'm not sure. But and these people were quiet. I mean, I just worked the Tokyo Dome last week, and the crowd was super loud. And of course, I mean, obviously, it's a different time. You know, Chris Jericho, the Painmakers, at a different stage, and working with Tanahashi and working with Kenny Omega and Naito, those are legitimate stars, whereas Koji Kanemoto was more of a junior heavyweight. But still, he was still a star, but the people were not making any noise whatsoever. But so it was a pretty big show, though, any way that you slice it. And I got in the night before, and it was funny because that's when they gave me the costume, and I put the costume on, and I remember thinking, like, oh my God, how in the hell am I going to move in this? It was like wearing a very constrictive, like when you put on like a wetsuit, like if you're going to go scuba diving, that's exactly what it was like, but a full body one. So imagine it going all the way to your, you know, arms, all down your arms, your legs are completely ensconced, your whole chest. And I put that on with the mask and it's like, I did not feel comfortable in the least. Like I was so worried about the costume and it was so inhibiting and so restrictive. Everything was so, felt so restrictive to even move my hands, you know? And then the mask wasn't a full mask because the top of my head was showing so that you could put the, you know, the hair out. And I remember too that the guys there, at least I think Liger wore like kind of amateur wrestling shoes. So they don't have like the boots go, you know, halfway up your calf sort of thing. Mine did. So I had to try and put these super tight pants over top of the boots as well. So that was something that I didn't expect either and anticipate. So once again, I remember being in the hotel room, just walking around in my full outfit, trying to stretch it out a bit and trying to get it, to get it a little bit more loose and a little bit more worked in because it was really restrictive. And it's funny too, because maybe times have changed, but the last, you know, all the matches that I had in Japan over the last couple of years, you meet up at the dojo, the New Japan dojo, to kind of go through the match and work the match out and kind of chat it up and chat it out and kind of have an idea of what you're going to do before you even get there. And we did not do that with Kanemoto. And I had known Kanemoto from Mexico. He was there when I was there. And he had a pretty bad reputation of being kind of a little bit of an asshole, kind of sandbagging, which means he wouldn't help work with you. You know, you're supposed to work together, and he was not that agreeable, shall we say. So I knew that about him beforehand, but then the fact that we never talked and never went through anything before is just ridiculous when you think about it. All of these things that I had to deal with for the first time, and a lot of it revolving around the fact that, you know, like I said, first time with the mask and first time with the clothes and first time with the at the Tokyo Dome and first time with New Japan and all these other things. It was just very, very strange for me to not even be going through any of the match either. So I get to the Tokyo Dome, and the cool thing was, like, there was really no other foreigners there that I can remember. And I'm actually looking at the card right now to see who else was on it. And there really wasn't a lot of other foreigners. I'm looking, actually it's interesting. Liger worked with Dragon at that show, Liger versus Ultimo Dragon. But yeah, you had, just looking through here quickly, the Willie Williams and Antonio Inoki. So Willie Williams was an old school, I guess, judo guy. It was a mixed martial arts match. And so that's it. No other foreigners on the entire show besides Willie Williams. Look how much that's changed. And Jericho versus Super Liger versus Kanemoto. So, but Black Cat was there. Now, Black Cat was a guy who trained with New Japan. He was half Chinese, I believe, and half Mexican. Victor Marr was his name. And he was really good friends with Benoit, with Eddie Guerrero. And I knew Cat from Mexico when he came. Loved Cat. He was a great guy. He's since passed away now as well, as those other guys have too. And he was very helpful, you know, with the foreign guys. So he would kind of, you know, go over the matches with you and make sure everything was good. And so he kind of was there to help put together the match. And it's just so funny because I'm thinking about the Tokyo Dome, and I've had the last 3 years in the Tokyo Dome, Wrestle Kingdom 12, 13, and 14. And I can tell you that whole place like the back of my hand. But going out there for Super Liger, I don't remember what dressing room I had. I don't remember changing with everybody. I don't know if they were keeping it a secret and I was on my own. I can't remember those things, but I remember Kat came to try and help us with the match, and Kanemoto, as we were going over stuff, he didn't want to do anything. he didn't want to I think there's certain moves that I wanted to give him that he said he couldn't do, but he could give them. He couldn't take them, but he could give them. And this is not a burial of Kanemoto. It was just a different time back then where it was still a little bit like, A, he was doing the job to Super Liger, and B, probably didn't know a lot about me, or maybe didn't want to do the job or whatever it was. So he wasn't very helpful, shall we say, in putting the match together. And I eventually won the match with a tiger suplex, which is a double arm suplex, like a German suplex where you grab the arms behind the guy's back. But that's not the finish that I wanted to do. And I think the finish that I wanted to do, he didn't like it or he couldn't do it. So that was what we agreed upon. And I had never used that as a finish before in my life. And maybe I thought I was going to try and do that because Super Liger would be different. And what is Super Liger? Like, what is this character? Who is he? You know, I remember I put the thing on and I was like, well, if I put my two fingers together, like my index finger and my middle finger together, kind of like if you were going to do a gun motion, but it was a double barreled gun. And that was going to be my sign, like those, put the two fingers together and stick them out, and you know, and that'll be like the cool thing to do. Everyone will do it. And of course, I think I did it once or twice and nobody did it. But it was really great. I had the cape and everything like this. And from a costume standpoint, it looks amazing. From an execution standpoint, it was terrible. And we're going to watch the match together here. I haven't seen it ever. I haven't seen it in, you know, 23 years, I guess, or 22 years now, 97, January 4th. Yeah, 23 years. I just remember I hated it. The match was terrible in my mind. I remember I went to jump to the top rope to do my kind of triangle springboard dropkick, and I totally fell. And people were kind of like, I remember they started laughing in the dome because it was very silent too. And they started laughing in there. That was like the biggest reaction I got was by, you know, if we were in the States, they would start chanting, "You fucked up, you fucked up." But they're far too polite to do that. They just start laughing at you. So yeah, well, let's go through the match and then we can kind of go through the aftermath and all the stuff that happened. But going into the match, I remember thinking, well, this should be okay. You know, we didn't really talk about a lot of stuff, but that was the way it was back then. You would just go out there and kind of wrestle each other, and then you would go through whatever spots and finishes that you had and go through that. So
the longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Everybody go on YouTube and Google Super Liger. And let's go through the one... Let's go right to it right now. Let's go to YouTube. I'm going to type in Super Liger, and whichever one comes up first is the one that we'll all go on to watch the match together. So, yeah, don't do the one. This is the second one. It says, when Chris Jericho was Super Liger during one night in New Japan. Full match, 12 minutes and 30 seconds. So the match was 11 minutes and 11 seconds. We were on second of the night. The only foreigner in the biz, so on the show. So let's click on that. So there I am coming out. That was the 25th anniversary. Look at the cape. The costume looks really cool. The big Liger, you know, shoulder pads, and you know, you see me jumping through there, and I take the cape off right away and go right up to Kanemoto. We start pushing each other, and you know, it's pretty funny. You know, just once again, we had no idea what we're going to do at the beginning. Now you would never do that. But at the time, it's like, you know, you're kind of a tough guy and you just go out there and fight. I love the ring announcer too. He always reminded me of John Denver. So there's Kanemoto, and kind of a mean looking guy, like I said. Yeah, and not the best physique guys in Japan have so much better bodies now. You can tell that the nutrition and the vitamins have changed. So there's the gong, and we're circling each other. Once again, if you look at my boots, you can see they're very much stuck into those kick pads because I didn't have any space for them. So the big lock up there, it looks like he's trying to kind of take me over, and I'm not going to let him do that. I do give him a little belly to back suplex there. A little kick. But, you know, and you can see the crowd. Once again, 62,000 people there, but very silent. So this is a move that I did a lot back in those days, which was a standing suplex to show how strong I was. And you can see the big scoreboard in the background. And it's interesting, too, working in a dome because all the sound goes up. It doesn't come down into the ring. And when it's so dark like that, all you're basically seeing is it's like one big living, breathing entity that moves, you know, all at once. It's hard to see individual people. And it was hard for me to see anything with that mask on, with the eyes. You could see, like, it was just very, very hard to see stuff. And to I guess maybe that's one of the reasons why I fell off the ropes, because I couldn't see. Or maybe that's just the excuse that I'm using. But anyway, you slice it. It was hard to manage. And once again, I mean, the costume, it looks great. It fits great. You know, it's just very constrictive, though. But look at the detail on it. Like, they put a lot of time, and they made it very quickly based on my stupid little measurements there. So, but here we are. You can see us just kind of messing around, fumble farting around. This is what happens when you don't call anything. It's just kick, headlock, takeover, kick, headlock, takeover. And the thing with Kanemoto is he'll stop and start. Like, he'll do some kicks, which is great. Sometimes he sells, sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he bumps in the middle of no reason, no reason for that. There's a good one, just a running kick to the head. Take that one. And you can see kind of the lion's mane. I mean, once again, it looks cool AF. Decided to go for his knee there for no apparent reason. My psychology is not very good in this match, you know? I mean, and why would I ever work on a guy's leg? I hate that now because it doesn't make any sense. If you're working on a guy's leg, you'd want to, like, you know, he'd have to sell that. He wouldn't be able to run anymore. So anyways, we're just basically just painting ourselves into a corner here with everything that we do. It's just, I'm terrible too. I'm sandbagging too. I'm just down on the mat. I'm not doing anything. It's like, not a fan of this match. And once again, I've never seen it since we did it, but just watching, it's pissing me off. Not a lot of action coming out right there. And you can listen, you can hear the reaction from the crowd. No one's saying a word. Very quiet. And now he's working my leg. Okay, stand up. Look at that. I go for an Enzi. He doesn't sell it. He just picks it up again. Like, what an asshole. Like, just blatantly not selling that. Like, that was the reputation of Kanemoto. He just did not want to work with me, apparently. So, yeah, I mean, you can just see there's just nothing happening. I mean, this match is cringeworthy to me, just watching it here, just to see that, like, we legit aren't doing anything. And then I just stand right back up, and we're starting over again. Like, there's no heat. There's no cohesiveness. He does it again. At least he sold the enziguri on that one. But every time I try and kick, he grabs my leg. He's not playing along, as you can tell. You know, and that's a cool one. I like that move. I should do that more often. And the thing is, too, in 1997, things were different. Like, you know, I was a high flyer back at those point in time, so it's not like it is now with just the incredible athleticism and the incredible acrobatics that the guys do. you know, back then, a splash, you know, a spinning splash from the apron into the ring was a big high-flying deal. But look at this. Once again, I got him in a hold, and I just stop it and just pick him up. And it's like I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I mean, no wonder this match was not critically acclaimed by anybody involved, including me. Like I said, watching, that's 5 minutes gone. Gong fung, 5 minutes gone. So, and once again, right back to the headlock. It's like, what are you doing, Super Liger? Like, I should have been more mystical or something along those lines. Like, I should have been doing, I don't know. I didn't know what a Super Liger was. Oh, here it comes. I'm getting ready. I'm supposed to spring to the top rope, and I just fell straight down. Now, once again, was that because... And that got a pop. But then I drop kicked him in the face right after. So even though I fell, you can see that I kind of recovered with a nice drop kick at least. And a drop kick to the floor. That's pretty cool. That no one pops on. Nobody did a damn thing. I mean, come on, guys. Give me something. You know, I got a big reaction when I fell down. When I screwed up. But I got nothing for the nice drop kick from the top. There I'm giving the finger. No one's doing anything. At this point, the match is... And look, he's not selling. He's back up again. Like, you know, and what do? We just start from scratch again? Okay, well, I'm going to try and suplex him in the ring. And what's he going to do? Oh, he's going to suplex me now, maybe? Is that what's happening? Yeah, there you go. I mean, that's a nice bump. Okay, wow. He did a nice little fly. We see these are big time moves right here that people haven't really seen a lot of. But those ropes are super loose too. I don't know if they're made of cables, but they're just sagging. Like they're not giving us much support. Like Kano, his face just makes him look like an asshole, you know, which he was. But then here I come, right? Just back in the ring. And what do we got coming up next? Oh, suplex on my feet. That's pretty nice. Tackle him. Well, it looks like I was supposed to land on my feet on that one. Double drop kick. And then nothing. Then we're back down again. What a strange spot to put in the middle of the match. A double drop kick where both guys move and we're doubling down. As Cannibal continues to pull up his pants. Jeez Louise, man. Get better pants. God, it's just... This match is just cringeworthy for me. It's sloppy too. I don't know if it's him or me or both of us or what, but it's just not cool. Trying to get some sort of reaction. Oh, no, he power bombs me there. Well, that got a nice little reaction there. People popped on that one. But look how he covers me with his foot on my chest. Like what a jerk. Like why would he do that after a nice move? He could have got a nice little false finish out of that, but there he's just kicking the shit out of me now. Guess he doesn't like me for some reason. Probably because he's losing the match to this Super Liger guy. He sure loves that spinning flip thing. That's for sure. Yeah, kind of a light cover. Like he's not taking it very seriously here. Like he doesn't look like he really is trying to beat me. It looks like two guys out there just floundering around trying to figure out what the hell to do, which might have been. Look at that. What a brutal slam that was. Moonsault to the knees and no one's reacting to any. Oh, he picks me up. What a jerk. This must be his finishing move. It looks like he's going to give me a suplex now. Okay, so he gives me the double arm. And I kick out. And then I just get up. What am I doing? I'm up before him. What the hell am I doing? Why am I suddenly up after just taking a suplex on my head? Oh, this match is terrible. I'm terrible in this. Jeez Louise. Did we go out there with nothing? Were we just making everything up on the spot? There's been so many suplexes and holds, headlocks and chin locks. It's just now I look like I'm trying to give him a suplex from the top. Oh, but he pushes me over to the floor. Okay. Now he's going to fly on me. And I drop kick him. Okay, so I drop kick him out of the air. I'm not putting anybody under the bus here, but he had to have called this match because this does not have any type of psychology that I would use. And it's my fault for going for it. But once again, here we go, right back up to the top rope again. I mean, there's nothing to this. All right, is this the finish? The double chicken wing suplex top rope. Okay, that's good. Now I'm pulling him up. Why? Now I'm giving him the same suplex that he just gave me. And there's the three count. Not a good match. You know, sometimes when you think back about matches, maybe I didn't like the fact that I just remember falling off the rope. But even if I had hit that move, this was not a good match in any way, shape, or form. Sloppy, ill-conceived. There's Black Cat behind me if you see the guy right there. That's Black Cat right there. Like I said, very ill-conceived match. Not very good at all. And and you know it too. Like when you have a good match, you know it. When you have a bad match, you know it. And when you have a stinker, you know it as well. And it's funny because if you go onto the Wikipedia, it talks about the second match of the night featured the debut of a character called Super Liger, a silver and white version of Jushin Liger, played by Chris Jericho. Super Liger wrestled Kanemoto in what Power Slam magazine called a super aerial battle. I wouldn't go that far. Liger won after 11 minutes, 11 seconds by using a bridging tiger suplex to pin Kanemoto. New Japan intended to use Super Liger, the Super Liger character, as a storyline enemy of Liger, hoping to create a rivalry similar to the Tiger Mask versus Black Tiger rivalry. However, the character was so poorly received that it was never used again. Now, once again, it wasn't an auspicious debut. It wasn't a complete bomb, but it was weird because I was booked to be on the next tour, which I believe was at the end of January through February, as Super Liger. But like I said, when you know you've had a stinker of a match, you can always tell too because people kind of avoid you and they don't really want to say anything. And I remember Kat was like, you tried your best and it'll be better next time. And I'm like, oh, that's my friend. Like, what are the critics saying? You know, what are the reporters saying? Because in Japan, the reporters have a lot of influence and they'll write in the paper the next day, just like a hockey score or something along those lines. Like a hockey game or a football game, they'll talk about, you know, what happened in the matches and all that sort of thing. So when I came to the back, I'm not sure if I saw Kanemoto. I don't think I saw Liger. Liger probably wanted to avoid me because I probably made him look really bad because he came up with this character and he probably had thought about it for a while and thought about it for me. And when we debut it and it sucks, he probably looks bad. He feels stupid. If there's anybody that didn't want to do it in the first place, they'll go, see, I told you this was a dumb idea, or you chose the wrong guy because that guy was the shits. So I had that full costume, and when I took it off, an underling came over and said, we're going to keep the costume here for safekeeping, aka you're never wearing this costume again. They probably took it and buried it and threw it in the ocean or something along those lines. But I did have kind of a party mask, shall we say. It was like a version of the Super Liger mask, but it could be worn out. And I remember there was kind of an after party that I wore that mask for. And there's a couple pictures of me wearing it. I remember I had a picture with Willie Williams and Black Cat wearing that mask. And there's no party after the Tokyo Dome anymore, which is a drag. But when I went to that party, like, no one was talking to me.
And that's the sign that you had a real stinker. Everyone kind of avoids you like the plague. And so they took the costume away and they left me with the mask. And I had that mask, but I actually gave it to Brian Hildebrand, who was a referee named Mark Curtis. Great guy. And he actually passed away from cancer probably in 1999. And I think one of the last times I saw him, he was a big avid mask collector. I remember Eddie had given him his Black Tiger mask, and I gave him that Super Liger mask. And now I have no idea where it is. Maybe Brian's wife has it or something like that. But I wish I still had it because it was a good kind of memory of Super Liger. And that was, you know, that was. You know, I went to the party, then I get on the plane and I fly home. And I remember when I got home, I used to listen to the WCW Hotline. And, you know, Gene Okerlund started it. But then it was kind of like the precursors to, you know, Wrestling Observer Live now that you hear on a daily on the website. You know, it's kind of the day's events, the day's news and that sort of thing. And I remember I was listening to the report, and Mark Madden, actually a very good friend of mine, he was saying that, you know, basically what we just read, that they were going to use this as kind of a tiger mask versus Black Tiger, but it really bombed and it was a terrible match and everybody hated it. And I'm like, wow, like the news of my match reached the States before I did. The news about how bad it was, you know, it came across even before I got home that it was terrible. And thankfully, I was already booked for that next tour, because had I not been booked, they might never have brought me back, which, you know, because like I said, like I think it wasn't just because the match was bad. I think it's also because a lot of people had egg on their face for allowing it to take place. And then when it didn't go the way that it should have or could have, people look bad and people get embarrassed. And then that's kind of a problem. So I just remember listening to that and then hearing a couple people maybe within WCW had heard that it wasn't great. And, you know, then you wait for the Wrestling Observer to come out to read the report of it. And it just wasn't, you know, it wasn't the reaction that I was hoping for. And like I said, when something is bad, I mean, at that point in time, I had been in the business for 7 years. You know, if it's bad, you sweep it under the carpet and you move on to the next one. But I certainly didn't think that it was bad enough to just completely cancel the whole character. I certainly didn't think it was bad enough for, you know, everybody to kind of make me the laughing stock, you know. And I certainly didn't think that I wouldn't get a chance to do more. So it's really funny when you think about that, that not only was it bad, but it was really bad.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
And I'm just looking here at what culture. Every Chris Jericho reinvention ranked from worst to best. And of course, it's the gif of me just falling off the ropes. And let's read what it says here. Jericho infamously lost the AEW World Championship title last month. I didn't lose it. It was stolen. But by then, he was such an expert worker that he turned an embarrassment into a legitimately hilarious series of promos. He wasn't equipped with the self-assurance to deal with that humiliation that was his catastrophic debut as Super Liger in New Japan Pro Wrestling. The biggest embarrassment on the biggest stage, Jericho, promoted as Jushin Liger's nemesis, never did complete the story arc. At the 1997 Tokyo Dome show, Super Liger went over Koji Kanemoto in a match so comically bad, fans laughed at it. Jericho attempted his trademark springboard dropkick spot, but unable to see through the mask, he lost his footing. He had difficulty maneuvering himself around the ring, too, due to the constraints of his costume, and that's what it was. It would be charitable to describe it as attire, because he was only ever cosplaying as his rival. The rest of the match, riddled with miscommunications, was at best disjointed. The character was immediately dropped because it was so untenable. Super Liger was meant to be the evil doppelganger of Jushin Liger, but the awesome opposite was true. He was as hapless in the ring as Jushin was awesome. My goodness. Talk about a scathing review there, but there was plenty of them like it around that time frame. But you know, when you are part of it, it's not so funny. And I wasn't happy about it at all, as you can tell. Even now, 23 years later, to read that stuff, I hate that sort of stuff. You never want to be known as a laughing stock, but that's exactly what that was around that time frame. So, I pulled up my socks like a big boy and, ate some crow, sloughed it off. And lo and behold, once again, like I said, I was still booked for the January tour in New Japan. And even though I was embarrassed, I still went, made the tour. And I remember my first night in, they put me with a guy called Izuka, who just recently retired. And Izuka, he now is the trainer at the dojo. And I remember he was kind of universally critically acclaimed as a great worker, a great meat and potatoes worker. Like, you know, if you can't have a good match with Izuka, then you can't have a good match with anybody, sort of thing. So they put us in there. Same thing that I had with the Gambler in WCW. Same thing I had with X-Pac in the WWE. You know, it's like if you don't have a good match with this guy, then you know there's going to be some trouble. But of course, we had a good match. Of course, he beat me. But I remember thinking afterwards, because I knew what it was. I knew it was a test. I knew that my name was Mud. My name is Mud. My name is Mud. A little Primus for you there. I knew I was under the microscope and up against the wall, and you know had to really show what I could do, at risk of you know never getting a chance to see the light of day in New Japan ever again. So we had a really good match, and then the next night I believe it was TV, and I think the match was myself and Scotty Riggs versus Liger, and I think it was Samurai. And lo and behold, we had another great match. And once again, I never spoke to Liger about Super Liger, so I don't know. I sure would like to, but how do you breach that subject? You know, I'll probably never see him again now, but, you know, how do you breach that subject with him? You just had to know, hey, Liger, on that time when I was Super Liger and really sucked, like, what do you do? So I think that he felt a little bit of retribution, you know, because at least I had a good match. And then afterwards, I saw Riki Choshu, who was the booker at the time, backstage. And he called me over and he said, "You Super Liger?" And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Oh." He said, "Chris Jericho, very good. Super Liger, very bad." And I said, "Yeah, I think Super Liger's dead." He said, "I think so." And that was the end of any type of mention of Super Liger. He was done. But the good news was that I had a great tour. And then they invited me back a total of 6 times. I did New Japan tour in the 90s before I came back in 2018. And the Super Junior tournament was one that I did. And I also remember I worked a match with, we did a tour together with Benoit, and I did a tour together. And we did a match where we were against each other. And I'll never forget, he just attacked me at the bell. I was like, wow, this is not my friend. This is Wild Pegasus. He wasn't screwing around. He beat the shit out of me. And I gave him a spin kick, and I kind of missed, but he took a bump anyways. And afterwards, he was so angry that he had to purge himself, basically, and he had to do 500 squats. So I felt bad because I was the one who threw the kick that missed. So I did the 500 squats with him. And you guys do 10 squats now and see how you feel, and then do 500 of them. So I remember I woke up the next morning, my legs were just killing me. They were screaming in pain. They were like detaching themselves from my body in protest and running away on their own. And I couldn't walk down the stairs of the hotel, a lot of stairs. And it was just screaming in pain walking the stairs. And back in those days, you would find out the card when you got to the venue. Sometimes you might know, but I think at that point in time, you would just get to the venue, you'd go up to the wall, and you would look at the card that was printed up on the wall. And of course, lo and behold, I had a single match with Jushin Liger. And I was like, I can't even walk. Like, what am I going to do? You know what I mean? Like, I literally can't, like, my legs are screaming at me from doing 500 squats. So I remember I just took a bunch of Yoko, which is kind of like a Tiger Balm type stuff, like Icy Hot. And I just spread it all over my legs and then put my tights on over top of that and just had this Icy Hot. I stunk of Icy Hot, you know, and try and stretch out as best as I could. And we went and had a really good match. I don't remember it being like amazing, but I definitely wasn't a super Liger match. I remember liking it, and Liger liked it. And that was, you know, imagine how good it could have been had I not been screaming in pain. But other than that, I never really worked with Liger too much more. I remember the one single match that we had with my legs screaming. I remember the tag team match we had right when I first came back. And I remember the tag team match that I had with War. And of course, we did, like I said, we did the Super J Cup second stage, which was booked by Ultimo Dragon. And the final of that was Gato versus Liger, with Liger going over, which was, you know, a great match there. So there was a lot of interaction with Liger, but never a lot of interaction in the ring. And what might have happened had Super Liger, you know, got over, shall we say, and how far were they willing to take it? What is one of those things that maybe we would have worked on and off and made it all the way to the Tokyo Dome? Who knows? But like I said, it never transpired because it just wasn't great. So it's funny when you think of 30-year career, almost 30 years, and all the things that I've accomplished and all the things that I've done, and, you know, Chris Jericho's the greatest of all time, or people say this or people say that. That's the one thing that just really sticks out to me, is just being really terrible, especially on such a grand stage. And I've had a couple of other ones like that, but, you know, there's certain moments in time where you go, this is the biggest match of my career. Wherever I was at that point in time, that was the biggest match of my career. It just died a death, you know. But like I said, there were so many variables as to stuff that I had never dealt with before. I legitimately remember too, I didn't say this earlier, when I jumped to go to the top rope for the springboard, because I would push myself up and go all the way to the top. I now just do it to the second rope because I'm not, you know, I stopped doing that about 10 years ago or 15 years ago, maybe even 20 years ago, jumping all the way to the top, because I just wasn't nailing it. And when you don't nail it a couple of times, you start losing your confidence. And when you lose your confidence on a move that has some sort of difficulty, just don't try and do it anymore. Because if you're only doing it, you know, 2 out of 3 times, that's not good enough. But at the time, I was jumping straight to the top, and I remember there was like lights, obviously, and the red eyes being covered. It kind of just made a big kind of soupy appearance. I couldn't see, you know. And like I said, I'm making excuses. I mean, I botched it either way, but that had a lot to do with it. And, you know, imagine working with that. Like, it's not just the mask, but it's the eyes that are covered with the mesh. And it's like, I don't know how you can do that. Like, if I'm trying to even look up Liger himself, I'm going to look it up right now, because I don't know if he has that stuff over his eyes. And if he does, how did he get used to it? It's just one of those things where you go like, oh my goodness. You know, what exactly is that? So I'm looking at the images right now. Yeah. And he has that stuff over his eyes, which is really amazing. It's I don't know how the hell you could do that, but I'm looking through though. No, he doesn't have it. He you can see his eyes. So it's not as thick as what I had. Although there's different stages of his career too. So I'm sure at some point he might've got sick of it and just said, I don't want to deal with this anymore. But bottom line is, you know, like I said, it was quite the experience. And I'm glad that I was there for Liger's last two shows. And like I said, not much of a conversationalist with him. But it was pretty cool. After the Tokyo Dome, they have a little meeting, a team meeting. they kind of tell you what the attendance was and congratulations. And, you know, it's just in the locker room, and it's for such a big show. It's just all kind of the guys all stuffed together in the back of the room. And this was the exact opposite of the Tokyo Dome in 97, where I was the only foreigner with Willie Williams. This time, of course, there's Zack Sabre Jr. and Ospreay and Jericho, and Jay White is there, and Rocky Romero and Chase Owens and David Finlay and Juice Robinson and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's so many foreign guys there now. You know, and they gave everybody a little envelope with a bonus in it, $100 bonus, 10,000 yen. So it's like, oh, wow, that's cool. Like, but it's more of a tradition, more of a, you know, I guess a small token of appreciation. $100 is $100. I'm not going to piss on that. But and then some people do some speeches, and Naito did a speech because he's the new champion, and Tanahashi did a speech because he's the legend. And I just wanted to say something about Liger. And I just said, listen, I just want to tell you thank you from a foreign standpoint, from a Gaijing standpoint, which you can't really say anymore, but you are definitely the most famous performer worldwide in New Japan history, in my opinion. For as far as, you know, I'm sure Inoki has name level and all that sort of stuff, but everyone knows Jushin Liger. If you're a wrestling fan, everyone knows Jushin Liger. And he was never even in the WWE. I think he did the one appearance for NXT, but everyone knows him, and his influence is amazing. And that's why I just wanted to let him know. Thank you so much for everything you've done. You're the most famous performer in Japanese history. I used to watch you when you were in Calgary, when he was Keiichi Yamada. They used to call him Frankie in England, because he one time, I guess, got his eyebrows shaved or something along those lines, and he had a big forehead. Or maybe when he was the young boy, and he had his, you know, his eyebrows shaved and his hair shaved and all that other stuff, and he like they said he looked like Frankenstein, so that's why they called him Frankie. Hey, Frankie. But I just wanted to thank him for being, you know, such an influence on so many people. Not that he was a huge influence on me to where, where I modeled my work after him, but more of an influence of a guy that, you know, like I said, I wanted to impress him because he was Jushin Liger, and I wanted to work with him because he was Jushin Liger. And while we never had a classic like he did with Eddie or Benoit or Malenko or Gato or Ultimo Dragon or those type of guys, Pillman had a great match with him. I did have matches with him, and I did at least redeem myself in his eyes. The last thing I would want is for Liger to think of me as some kind of a, you know, shit worker who ruined his idea that he came up specifically for me. So I was happy that I was able to say a few words, and I was happy I was able to see him. Very tan. He's bald now. He shaves his head, but super tan. But he did a lot for the business. And he gave me a shot, even though I blew it. I did come back and work, like I said, 5 more tours where they were able to get some good stuff out of me. And just as we wrap it up, he did an interview. I found it for Sports Illustrated. And he said, you wrestled Tyler Breeze at NXT TakeOver in August of 2015. Why didn't you continue to work with WWE? Do you watch WWE? And whose work in WWE do you admire? He said, I was too old to stay with WWE. I wanted my spot to go to a younger wrestler. I watch a little of WWE. I wrestled Chris Jericho in Japan. He is very, very good. That is no joke. He's a very good wrestler, and I respect him. I watch Chris Jericho to learn from my own matches. He has great conditioning. He can wrestle every day. Jericho is great, and everyone is so professional in WWE. Any wrestler should wrestle there if they have the chance. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. Thank you so much, Liger-san, and I feel the same way about you. I just love the fact that he said I was a genius. And he didn't mention Super Liger. I wonder if he even knows it's the same guy. He has to remember. Maybe he just completely put it out of his head and just chooses not to acknowledge it. But so that's it. That's the story. The life and times of Super Liger, born January 4th, 1997, died January 4th, 1997. 11 minutes and 11 seconds of pure wrestling botchery. So if you want to see a really stinky match, go watch that again. And you went through it with me, and once again, thanks to Jushin Liger. And man, I wish I had that Super Liger party mask somewhere. If somebody finds it at a garage sale someday, pick it up for me and I'll pay you back. So cheers, guys. Onegashimasu. Matane. Arigato gozaimashita. Super Liger!